And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, as the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, upon the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, it is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozra, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all her princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beast of the desert also shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out the book of the Lord, and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Now this passage of Scripture, there is a whole lot of things that we could talk about, but I wanted you to see this evening, because I wanted to just challenge you, and I think we all need to be challenged in this time. We have a passage of Scripture that talks about God's judgment. And God is telling the nations about this judgment that's going to come on Edomia. And I'm not going to go through and you can't really take just this one chapter and get the full sense of what God's doing here. But he's calling them, this is in the midst of several chapters, he's calling them to do something, to come near and to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that there that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. Alright, so he's calling the entire world to hear and all the nations to hear. And he talks about the judgment on Edomia and Bozra. And he talks about this, and there's a lot to be said about that. And he talks about the day of the Lord's vengeance. And so this is going to happen during the time when the Lord comes in glory. All right, notice he talks about the time that the heavens shall be rolled back like a scroll. All right, rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. So there's another place where we're told about that. I won't take the time to show you that, but that ought to be. That function right there ought to be something to tell us, give us an idea of when this time is, what he's talking about. That's how we put line upon line and precept upon precept, and we understand some things. And he literally talks about this place being turned into pitch and brimstone, and the land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall ever pass through it forever and ever. So when he's talking about this period, place, and the judgment that he's putting upon it, he's literally turning it into what we would look at as a lake of fire, as a land. He's making a land desolate. Now, and then he talks about the different things. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to get you to I'm not going to spend the time to try to give you everything on this. But there is a very important thing it says in verse 16. He says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he has cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Now, it talks about this land becoming desolate. It talks about being the place of the cormorant and the bittern and the owl and the raven and the vultures and the wild beast of the desert and the satyr and the screech owl. And people look at this and they look at this and many people think that this is talking about hell. And this is kind of where people got the idea that the devil lives and rules in hell. And some people trying to get that idea, that old tradition, is because of a misunderstanding of the Word of God. But this is a picture of hell. It's a picture of that we should do, I guess I'm trying to struggle for the words to actually say it the way I want to say it, but it is a picture or a type of hell, if you will, but it is a literal thing that's going to happen. It's something that's been decreed by God's Word. It's a judgment that is coming upon a people. By the way, Edomia is Edom. And if you read, that is the place of Esau's lineage. And you read the prophecies that have gone on that. By the way, Herod the king was an Edomite. Herod the Great was an Edomite. He was made and put in place and styled a king of, quote, king of Israel, king of the Jews, if you will. He was styled that way by Caesar, not by God. And you now you understand why when the wise men came and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Why Herod was so desirous to murder the Lord Jesus Christ and kill him. Even to the whole point where he killed every child from 2 years old and younger. He killed every one of them in that throughout Bethlehem and all the coast thereof. You know, he planned on killing everyone. And so he was that type. He was that much against the Lord. And he had no trouble lying. But it tells the entire world to hear. And then says, and this is the message today. Tonight is a simple message. It's a straightforward message. It's not a long message. But I want to let you see something here. God is talking about judgment upon nations and upon a particular nation and people that he's going to bring forth in their land. And there's a lot to be said about that, a lot to read about it. If you take the time and read everything the Bible says about Esau and his people and the things that happened and the way they what they did, you go through and you read Obadiah, I believe, talks about prophesies against Edom. And there's several other prophecies about Edom, and as you go through and you look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and you find prophecies about that, and you see the things that God says. There are certain people that God has judged for because of what they did, things that he said was going to happen. And these people that are there, God says to them, he tells them to come near and hear and to hearken. And everything that's on earth. And then in verse 16 he says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth hath commanded and his spirit hath gathered them. So he's talking about the things that are going to happen and what he's going to bring to pass. And he says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. God is telling the nations to seek out the book of the Lord. He is double dog daring after you say it. Way some old preachers say, they say, I double dog dare you to do this. Whatever the case may be. They said that he is daring the world to read the word of God, to listen, to hear, and see whether or not what he says is going to come to pass. Now, as we are in a new year, if the Lord gives us all this year, and everybody's wringing their hands because of the new administration, and they've already made several changes that's going to directly impact our economy and everything else, and we look at all the things that are coming, he's made changes that are going to impact policies and the things that people do. He's made policies, things that he's doing. And it seems like, you know, the media and the incoming president's party, they're out for blood against anybody that did not support them. And they're looking to silence all their political opposition. They're doing all this type of things. So we're looking at a time in our nation that if people don't stand up, and if our politicians roll over, we could be losing our liberties. And life could get ugly. Now, it could go completely away. Things could, the people could, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We ought to be praying for mercy. But here's something that God says is going to happen, and he tells the world, seek ye out the book of the Lord. He's telling the world to look for God's word. He's saying, hey, you put my word to the test. You read what it says and tell me if it doesn't come to pass. He said, I've commanded it. It's in my word. Now this time and place is going to happen. And I don't have a timetable or whatever is going to happen. America will be a blip in history when it's all said and done but he notice he's inviting the entire world to read the book. He's telling them, seek ye out the book of the Lord. Go find it. Question number one. Do we need to go find it? Or do we know where it is? Do we have it? Is this King James Bible, the Word of God? Did God preserve it? Is it inspired? What a blessing that we don't have to seek out the Word of the Lord. We don't have to go find it. We don't have to go find the book. During the time of Josiah, I believe it was, after all the things of Omri and Zimri and Ahab and Ammon and all the wicked kings, all of a sudden there comes somebody by the name of Josiah, right? Jotham, Ammon, all those wicked kings. And there's Josiah. And they come during that time and somebody says, I found the book of the Lord. We don't have to seek. He said, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Everything I'm saying here is going to come to pass. Do we believe what Jesus said, that not one jot nor tittle would fail until all be fulfilled? Do we believe that? God's telling a wicked world, seek out the book of the Lord. Read. Put it to the test. And in a sense, that's a challenge that we need to give the world. We need to tell them the truth of God's Word and show them that God's Word is true. And we can do that. But we can't do it if we don't talk to them. We can't do it if we hunker down and don't engage them. God tells them to seek out the book of the Lord and read. And our job is to take it to them. But the challenge is not just be thankful that we don't have to seek. The question is, the challenge is, do we read? Do we read? Do we read? Do you read God's Word every day? Do I read God's Word every day? Do I seek to understand? Do I seek to prove? See, God's calling the entire world, the entire earth, all the nations, all the people, everything that's in the earth, He's calling them to and telling them what He's going to do and telling them, get the book of the Lord and read it and find out. But you and I, we're supposed to be doing that as a matter of our life. God told Israel in the Psalms, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord, that He is good." He told them in the book of Malachi, if you want to turn over to the book of Malachi, you can look over in the book of Malachi, and He told them and us as well, He had given them commandment about the tithes, right? And he told them, He said about tithing, He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it." So He told them, He said, "Prove me." There are several places where we're told to put the Word of God to the test by obedience. We're to prove God. This is something that we ought to be doing. We're not of the crowd that God tells, go look for the book. We're the crowd that has the book. We're the crowd that should be proving the book. We're the crowd that should be showing people the truth of God's Word. We're the crowd that ought to be the ones that stand up. We ought to be the ones that are able to answer questions about the Bible. There's a lot of things that people say and a lot of lies that are told about God's Word. And sadly, God's people don't have an answer. Not because there isn't an answer, but because we're behaving like those who need to go look for the book. So my challenge to you is to read the Word of God every day for the rest of your life. That's my challenge to you tonight. That's the whole focus. There's a whole lot to be said about what this chapter talks about. But notice who He's talking to. He's not talking to His people. He's talking to the whole earth. He's talking to the world. He's talking to the nations. He's saying, "I'm going to make Edomia and Bozra an example to you. This is what I'm going to do to it." And He said, "I want you to go find the book, seek out the book of the Lord and read. I want you to know that everything I say is going to come true. I want you, when you witness it, to say, that's what God said was going to happen." And you know what? We ought to be able to look at this world and the things that are going on and say to the world, that's what God said was going to happen. Whether it be in relation to our lives, hopefully a change in our life, in the work of God. You know, it's an amazing thing. We're going to have a missionary. We're going to have a missionary come and present his work, and we're going to consider taking him on to support him in his work. And that's a fulfillment of what God said was going to happen. That's the work of God. God calling people to go. But we see the work of God, and we, you know, And especially in this day and age in America and our churches, to see a young man who steps out by faith and takes his family and says, we're going to serve the Lord wherever He wants us to go. And we're going to go. If it means going to India, we're going to India. If it means going to South America, we'll go there. If it means going to Central America, we'll go there. If it means going to Africa, we'll go there. If it means going to the next state or across the world or Canada or Britain or Russia or China or wherever He says to go, that's where we're going to go. That's the work of God, isn't it? Did the devil put him up to it? Did the devil go out and say, I'm gonna be sneaky. I'm going to send somebody to tell people about Jesus. No, the devil didn't have anything to do. Did the world do that? No, every time the world talks about Jesus, they either want to curse or they tell us to shut up about Him. And if they do ever talk about Jesus in any semblance of a positive light, it's to tell us how we're not like Him and Jesus would never do that. Like they know everything about Jesus. When they don't know anything about Jesus. So I'm going to challenge you to read. You don't have to go find it. Praise the Lord, you've got it in your hands. Read it. Every day. Let's read God's Word. Every day. God's telling the world to read it. Kind of like the assumption there's His people are already doing it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out. Father, thank You. Help us, Lord, to just read the Word of God. Simple message, simple thing. Something we know we're supposed to do. But we say we have Your Word, and Father, we do. And we thank You for it. We thank You for giving it to us. And we thank You for the men You used to bring it to us. And we thank You for the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's our Savior. But Lord, we read and look at so many things that are to no profit. And often neglect the Word of God, the book of the Lord, the Bible. Help us, we pray. Help Your people to not need to be challenged, but to know and understand and share the truth of Your Word with a lost and dying world. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.